morning again. How deep is your love? I think it's rhetorical, it's deep. And so in light of that, and in light of this book is God's breathed out word, truth unfolded and explained to us, inerrant and infallible, turn to the part of it in the book of Romans. Romans chapter 5. My text this morning, and we will just work mainly through verses 12 through 14. But I will read, because this is all one unit all the way to the end of the chapter, but I will read from verse 12 to verse 19. Hear the word of the Lord. Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned, for sin indeed was in the world before the law was given. But sin is not counted where there is no law. Yet death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those whose sinning was not like the transgression of Adam, who was a type of the one who was to come. But the free gift is not like the trespass. For if many died through one man's trespass, much more have the grace of God and the free gift by the grace of that one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for many. And the free gift is not like the result of that one man's sin. For judgment following one trespass brought condemnation. But the free gift following many trespasses brought justification. For if, because of one man's trespass, death reigned through that one man, much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. And therefore, as one trespass led to condemnation for all men, so one act of righteousness leads to justification and life for all men. For as by the one man's disobedience the many were made sinners, so by one man's obedience the many will be made righteous. Blessed is the reading of God's holy gospel. So, Father, this is a difficult text. It's complex, but it's your word. I beg for the help of every one of our minds to be attentive to what you say through Paul. And that our hearts be receptive to the beauty of the depth of your grace in Jesus Christ. And to that end, help me as a teacher teach well. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let me just start off by saying this, because it's utterly and absolutely true. God saves people in the simplest of ways. In other words, like me, like most of us, we get saved and we know almost nothing deeply. We have no complex theology. It's not coming from any rigorous biblical exegesis. We just come to grasp, I'm a sinner. And we know that in our hearts because of the grace of the Holy Spirit bringing conviction. And with it we hear there is a remedy. God sent His Son to die and suffer the penalty for our sins. And Jesus represented us on the cross. And God raised Him from the dead with untold numbers of eyewitnesses. And He did so for our complete vindication, justification before God, and the assurance that is guaranteed by Jesus of the future eternal life in the resurrection to come. We hear that, and what happens? We confess. I see it. Jesus died for me. I just know it. I believe. I'm saved. And we are. And it is as simple as that. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. But if you're not the thief on the cross, or you don't die the next week or month, God doesn't leave Christians there. But He brings His children into more and more knowledge of the truth, deeper and deeper understanding, so that the foundation of their hope is solid and firm to weather all the trials and the storms that are to come. Let me just say it simply. Deeper and deeper. Why? Because He wants us to understand who Jesus is. He wants us to grasp what Christ Jesus actually did for us, in order that we would see it and we would be amazed at the plan of God in creation and redemption. And so, God uses many biblical authors that we have here, and He uses His apostle Paul to teach us. And I mean to go really deep to the core by comparing and contrasting the first man, Adam, with the last man, Jesus. Why is this, therefore, very complex? Because it is, if you pay attention to it and read it seriously, it is complex. It's a difficult passage. Verses 12 through 21. Why is that in your Bible? It's because Jesus wants us to understand what salvation is. What justification really is. He wants us to understand. For all of us who, in that very simple way, have come to Him and are saved, what it is that actually has happened to us who are now in Christ. He wants us to grasp that it is not by works. It is not by anything that we did or could ever possibly do. But we're justified. We are forgiven of all of our sins, and we are, by God, the one that we offended so badly, we are by Him declared perfectly righteous. He wants us to know that's happened by imputation. By Him taking what Christ accomplished and did for us, and then attributing that to our account. That Christ did this for us, and that's our salvation, and that alone. So, as we come now in our journey through Paul's letter to the Romans, and now we're hitting verse 12 to the end of the chapter. Here's the bottom line, the big picture for a moment. Verses 12 to 21, because it is all one unit. Notice the very first word in verse 12. Therefore. Okay, that means what's coming now, this large section here, is connected to what he has said in verses 1 through 11. We spent, I think, 5 weeks in there. So let me just summarize those 5 weeks in about 12 seconds, where it says, we who come to faith in Christ are justified. We are justified by His blood, and we have peace with God. And thus, we are those who confidently expect, that's hope for the glory of God, we confidently expect in the future, there is a judgment day, but we will be saved from God's wrath, and we will be saved unto the experience of the glory of God in the resurrection. Okay. That's the first 11 verses. Now, this word, therefore, in other words, to the question, on what basis? If that's true about you, on what basis is that happening to us? The answer is verses 12 to 21. In a nutshell, and then we'll just slowly work. We are no longer in Adam, who brought to us condemnation. But we are now in Christ, who brought to us justification unto eternal life. Okay. So let's go to it. Let's begin with verse 12. And I want you to pay attention. If you don't have a Bible, you do it. There's Bibles right in front of you underneath the seat. Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned. For sin indeed was in the world before the law was given, but sin is not counted where there is no law. Now, if you were in Bible study on Monday night, at that point as we would read, I would ask the question, did you notice anything strange about the flow of thought? And we don't have time to sit there. What we would do, I don't care. No one might speak for 2 minutes because we'll just continue to read and then read it again and again. And if you did, you should notice, because Paul stopped his flow of thought after verse 12. He doesn't finish his sentence. Therefore, put that aside now. So what does he say? He started with what? Just as. So when she says, just as. So by the time you get to verse 13, you should be expecting what? So also this. Just as this. So also this. Let me submit. In other words, the flow should go something like this. Just as sin came into the world through one man and death through sin, and so death spread to all men, so also one act of righteousness leads to justification and life for all men. Or to take the whole and put them both together, it might go something like this. Here's the flow. For as by one man's disobedience, the many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience, the many will be made righteous. Now, obviously, some of you know, I just literally quoted what Paul says down below in verses 18 and 19. But the whole point is, that doesn't come until verses 18 and 19. That's where Paul picks up his flow of thought from verse 12. That's what's happening. Just as, he says in verse 12, sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned. And he stops. Now, whether he planned to stop beforehand as he's dictating this, or whether he just realized while he's dictating, people may take those three English words, four Greek words, he may take those three English words, because all sinned, they might take that the wrong way and totally miss the point. And so Paul says, I must clarify. And so he picks up where he left off in verse 12, in verses 18 and 19. So let's grasp verse 12. Let's look at it very slowly and carefully and look at the words. Just as, okay, now here comes the first statement. Just as what? Just as sin came into the world. Just as sin entered the world of mankind is where he's talking about. How? He tells you how. Just as sin came into the world through one man. So here, Paul is clearly referring to an historical human being. Not merely figurative. The first human being, Adam, in the garden. God, as we heard read this morning, gave him a law. Adam, I'm God, you're not. You're a creature made in my image to reflect my glory. So Adam, trust me. I have your highest good in mind and everything. Freely eat of all the trees of these the garden, the delicious fruit. Just trust me. So one thing, there's just one tree, Adam, that you are not to eat from. Trust me. But if, Adam, you disobey me, you defy me, you sin, then my judgment will be death for you. Spiritual and physical death. So Paul, here, he looks back and he says, just as sin came into the world through one man and death through sin. God's judgment upon Adam, which means man or mankind, Adam, spiritual and physical death came into the creation of mankind. And then he goes on now, look at Paul, to the next line. And death spread to all men. Anthropos, it means all men, women, girls, boys, all humanity, all human beings. And death spread to all men. Why? He answers it. Because all sinned. So far, why is death universal? Why is it that all human beings die? The answer is clear. Because all human beings sinned. That's clear. But what is not clear in verse 12, if you just leave it by itself and you separate it, you isolate it from the larger context here, what is not clear is this. What does all sinned mean? It could mean by itself, all people sinned individually. That's why they all die. As a punishment of their own, each of our own actual sins as individual persons. It could mean that. Isolated. Or it could mean all people sinned in Adam. That's why they all die. Adam's sin made us all guilty. So which is it? To answer that question correctly is huge. It's huge. In order to grasp what Paul is driving at in the gospel of Jesus Christ, that's his point. Of justification by faith alone. So I submit to you, and I would try to show what he means by all sinned is that all human beings sinned in Adam's sin. The larger context first, it bears this out. Paul means when Adam sinned, we all became guilty and condemned. Jump down to verse 15 and 16 for a second. I'm going to grab two lines out of there. Listen to how he says it. For if many, that's all of us, human beings, if many died, that's the judgment, we're judged. For if many died through one man's trespass. Verse 16. For the judgment following not many trespasses, but following one trespass, that judgment brought what? Condemnation. Now, Romans 3:23 is absolutely true, as Paul stated earlier. Every single human being has committed their own individual acts of sin. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But before any of us who are part of the human nature were born, we were all sinners. Guilty. Okay, so now back. So then, back to verse 12. Paul breaks off his flow of thought in order to clarify what he means by because all sinned. Adam's sin and guilt and condemnation were attributed, that is, same thing as imputed to every human being who was to come. This is a crucial theological point for all Christians to grasp, as it has been throughout church history. Because, first of all, you don't want to be a heretic. In other words, you don't want to really miss this and say something that we refer to as Christians as heretical because of a guy named Pelagius who did so. And his followers, because then you get a heresy named after you called Pelagianism. You don't want that. See, Pelagius and his followers, they said, the only connection between Adam's sin and our sins is that Adam set a bad example for us. In other words, all human beings are born into the same state Adam was in the garden before he sinned. In other words, human beings, we are all born morally neutral. Neither good nor bad. And therefore, in that sense, we're born, we are not sinful. We're not sinful. We're not guilty in Adam. Okay, that's heresy. That's what he taught. Now, with his pen, of course, Augustine fought this fight against Pelagius and his followers way back in the late 300s, early 400s. Now, okay, another view says, and this is not heresy here, okay? But here, okay, like this. The connection between Adam's first sin and our sins is that they are indirectly connected to us by being passed down to us through our parents. Where they get it? Through their parents. Where they get it? Through their parents, and then you end up with Adam. Okay. In other words, they're saying Adam's sin and guilt are passed to us not directly, but indirectly because we are born into this sinful state. Now, that statement there is absolutely true. We are. And the Bible teaches that. But that is not what Paul argues here. In chapter 5, what Paul is teaching is that Adam's sin, his guilt, and his condemnation are directly imputed to us, attributed to us, because Adam represents us as the head of humanity. Yes, we all sin. We are sinful. We commit acts of sin because we inherit his sinful nature, which he had since the fall. But Paul is arguing here in Romans 5 that Adam sinned on our behalf. And thus he condemned us all. He was our representative. His disobedience, his sin is credited to all who would descend from him. When Adam sinned, all human beings sinned because all humans are in Adam. Let me try to help. Let me, for a second, see if it's helpful and if you can see it. I'm going to paraphrase, say in my own words, in other words, the flow of what Paul says in verse 12 connected to verses 18 and 19. Just as through one man, Adam, sin entered the world of mankind, and death entered through sin, and death spread to all human beings because sin spread to all human beings because Adam's sin was attributed or imputed to them. So also, through one man, Jesus Christ, righteousness entered the world and life entered through righteousness and life spread to all who are in Christ because all are righteous in Christ because his righteousness is imputed to them. That's what Paul's teaching. Paul's point is to compare Adam and what he did to Jesus and what he did. That's why he begins verse 12 with those words, just as Adam, in order to get to, so also Christ. What's at stake in grasping this correctly? That Adam's imputation of sin and guilt to us is everything. See, if you say those words, because all sinned, that's why we all die, that means each of us have committed our own individual acts of sin, then you're going to end up distorting the greatness of your justification that Paul is laying out. In other words, see, the logic, if you did that, would go something like this in the text. Just as through Adam, sin and death entered the world, and death spread to everybody, because everyone individually did their own acts of sin, so also, through one man, Jesus Christ, righteousness and life entered the world, and life spread to all, because everybody who's in Christ individually did acts of righteousness. That would be the parallel. In other words, salvation, justification would not be by God imputing Christ's righteousness to us, but it would be by our own individually performing righteous works, which Paul already has clearly condemned in chapters 3, 4. And up to this point in chapter 5. Doesn't work that way. So let me say it this way. Look down at verse 19. If you get this wrong and say, because all sinned means, because we all have individually committed acts of sin, that's what Paul means in that text. If you get that wrong, you, in verse 19, there's two clauses, you would have to add words at the end of each clause. Verse 19, for as by one man's disobedience the many were made sinners because all sinned individually, so also by one man's obedience the many will be made righteous because they do righteous acts. But Paul was so clear in Romans 3-4 that Christ's righteousness is imputed to our account by grace through faith, not by, apart from, any works of the law. So here, Paul wants us to see the stunning parallel with Adam. Why? So that our joy, so that our gratefulness will skyrocket. Dear fellow sinner, saint, just as Adam's sin was imputed to us because we were in him, so Christ's righteous life is imputed to us because we now are in him. Oh, we should grasp it as Christians. Grasp what God wants us to grasp. The beauty of your salvation. Adam is the representative head of the original creation. Christ Jesus is the representative head of the new creation. It's not peripheral. It certainly isn't to Paul. As he's writing another letter to another church, and he's on the topic of the future and the bodily resurrection unto glory, all this stuff is one piece. It all holds together in Paul's gospel that Jesus gave him. So, for instance, just hear how he talks in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. He says, look, for as by a man came death, by a man has come also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. The first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam, that's Jesus, became a life-giving spirit. But it is not the spiritual that is first, but the natural. And then the spiritual resurrection body. The first man was from the earth, a man of dust. The second man, Jesus, is from heaven. He is God Himself who became man. The second man is from heaven. As was the man of dust, so also are those who are of dust. And Christian, as is the man of heaven who was raised from the dead and ascended on high, so also are those who are of heaven. Just as we have borne the image of the man of dust, Adam, we believers shall also bear the image of the resurrected Lord Jesus, the man of heaven. This is not peripheral to your understanding of why God saved you and how He did it. Simply, He wants us to revel in it and get the glory from it. He get the glory. Let's go back to verse 12. Here's my argument. That's why Paul breaks off his thought in verse 13. In order to clarify, I do not mean people's individual sins. I mean all sinned in Adam's original sin. So he breaks off his thought, he stops, and he inserts verses 13 and 14. For sin indeed was in the world before the law was given. But sin is not counted where there is no law. And yet, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those whose sinning was not like the transgression of Adam, who was a type of the one Jesus, who was to come. You see his argument? He goes and he says, there was no law. In other words, there were no direct commandments from God to the people since the Garden of Eden up to Moses. That's his argument. Because God gives His commands and His law to Moses. But His argument is, all the human beings still died. They died anyway during that time. And let me just say, babies too. In the womb or outside the womb. Who are not to a place of consciousness of, I hear your law and I rebel against it, they die. So So even though sin, and here's the point, get it? Yes, they were all sinful from Adam to Moses. He makes it very clear, quote, "For sin indeed was in the world," absolutely, "before the law was given." Yes, and they were sinning. Everybody, true. "But sin is not counted or imputed when there is no law." Because he argued, their sin was not like Adam's. I don't know what else that can mean other than a direct violation of a clearly stated command from God. Do not eat from this tree. But then, here's the point. Yes, they were sinning. Paul says, but if they're sinning, was not counted then, was not imputed because there was no law, then why did they die? And the answer is universal human death was not directly because of each individual's sins against a law of God or the law of Moses. It was owing to their sinning in Adam. He's saying, that's what I mean at the end of verse 12 when I said, and so death spread to all men because all sinned. Paul was saying, people died even though their own individual sinning was not the reason they died. Those sins were not counted as the reason for their judgment of death. The reason we all are judged in death, by death, is that we all sinned in Adam's sin. His sin was attributed to us. Now, before any of us protest, that's not fair. That ain't fair. Be very careful in your protest that you do not saw off the legs from underneath the foundation of the gospel of Jesus Christ itself. Because as he says at the end here, Adam was a type. A historical figure who was a type of Jesus who was to come. As it worked with Adam, so it works with Christ in the gospel of our salvation. Adam's a type. Christ is the anti-type. Adam was a shadow that pointed to the reality of Christ's coming. Adam was the first man. Jesus is the second or the last man. Adam is the representative human head. He represented us all. And Christ is the second Adam, representing all who are in him. Adam's life, Adam's sin, Adam's guilt and judgment were ours. They were imputed to us, attributed to us. Christ's life, Christ's righteousness, his vindication, his immortality in the resurrection are imputed to us who are in Christ. Are you in Christ? That's the big question. Who is in Christ? Okay, it's going to be a very long sentence here, an answer. Okay, it starts like that. Here's the qualifications. First of all, you have to be one of those. Every human being, no matter where you come from, what religion you're raised in, what your race is, your culture, etc. Every human being who is a descendant of Adam, and thus by their very nature of being a human being, they are condemned. Okay, you're not in Christ yet. Out of that group, who are those who are in Christ? It is those who have Christ Jesus' life and substitutionary death imputed to them for their justification, leading to the future eternal life in the resurrection. How do they get that? By faith. Believe the good news of the gospel of Jesus. And so, as the Apostle Paul tells every soul in this room, and I close with his words, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. Oh, Father, may no one here perish because of Adam's sin, but be saved because of Christ's life and substitutionary death and resurrection. And thus, that'll never happen unless we all have ears to hear. Grant ears. Grant ears that hear. Believe and are saved to the glory of your name. Oh, may we continue to ponder these great, wonderful truths of your gospel in our closing time as we sing. Amen. Let us